I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We are going to talk in this hour about Teddy Kennedy, Senator Theodore Kennedy, who died last night. And we are joined this first half hour by Timothy Noah and Jimmy Israel. Later on, we'll be joined by Governor Martin O'Malley and Congressman John Sarbanes, Congressman Elijah Cummings, William Kern, who's managing editor of World Meets Us, to hear what the world is saying about Ted Kennedy. Timothy Noah is senior writer for Slate Magazine. He's author of today's article, The Lion Sleeps, Why Ted Was the Kennedy Who Changed America Most. Jimmy Israel is a teacher and award-winning journalist who moderates the barbershop segment on NPR's Tell Me More. He's the author of the upcoming The Denzel Principle on St. Martin's Press. And he writes the hardline column at theroot.com. His article today was titled Teddy Kennedy, Good White Folk. And Jimmy and Timothy, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Hey, Mark. Thank you
so much. Let me start, Timmy, with your article and why you... in your article, seemed considered Ted Kennedy to be the Kennedy that actually ended up doing the most.
Well, he it's just his the string of legislative accomplishments over the course of his lifetime is remarkable. And the thing is that these are not theoretical good works. These are laws that changed. That changed the shape of American life in significant ways. Ted Kennedy was a prime mover behind the 1965 Immigration Act, which ended, you know, decades of preferences for Northern Europeans in immigration. He helped shepherd Title IX, which banned sex discrimination in education programs and helped foster women's sports. He was a key player in the Americans with Disabilities Act, the first significant civil rights bill protecting the handicapped. The list goes on and on. These are all laws that improved people's lives in very tangible ways.
Jimmy Israel, I found your take interesting.
Mark.
Hello, you there, Jimmy?
I'm here.
Good. I found your take interesting on why Ted Kennedy was different than quote unquote other white folks who than in politics in other ways.
Well, I don't know that I said he was different than other white people. I said he was good white folk. I mean, that's what old time black people say about white people you can trust. You know, and you know, Teddy was trustworthy. Among white people, when white people weren't so trustworthy, when you didn't know if your good white friend might hang you out to dry, literally or figuratively, at a moment's notice.
I want to explore something about Ted Kennedy with the two of you. I think that one of the most interesting things about him was his character and how different he was than his brothers. And you touch on this in your piece, Timothy Noah. And that how he really grew. I mean, from the time when he was suspended at Harvard for getting someone to take his Spanish exam, to his womanizing, to the Chappaquiddick horror. But he became, as he aged and grew into himself in some ways, a different man.
It's absolutely remarkable. I mean, if you had told somebody in the fall of 1962, when Ted Kennedy won the primary race for Senate and basically cleared the path to entering the Senate at the age of 30, if you had told somebody that this man would live to become one of the greatest, possibly the greatest, United States senators of all time, people would have thought you were a lunatic, because he started out his career essentially as a joke, as an embarrassment. He was the runt of the Kennedy litter. This was a guy who had gotten kicked out of Harvard for cheating on a Spanish exam. He'd gone into the army and because his father was traumatized by the death of one older brother and the near death of another older brother in World War II, his father pulled strings to get him a cushy job in Paris with the NATO Honor Guard, and he left the army as private first class. He, you know, stumbled his way into the United States Senate because his oldest brother, John F. Kennedy, was president of the United States, and nobody took him seriously, and there was no reason to take him seriously. And he grew into this person we mourn today, who was called the Lion of the Senate, and he was a remarkably accomplished legislator. He was extremely skillful at getting all sorts of important liberal legislation passed, much of it in a time period when the political culture was quite hostile to liberalism.
How do you see that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm not quick to call anybody the greatest, whether it's a pop star who might have overdosed on drugs or a really well-liked politician. But, Ted Kennedy, he was cool, you know, and he seemed to be not just liberal, but he seemed to be sincerely liberal. It wasn't a put-on. And he seemed to be a real friend to people of color and poor people who he wanted to share in the American dream, too. And I think that's laudable.
Somebody wrote in on our Facebook page, and folks, you can log on to Mark Snyder Facebook, become a friend, and give us your comments there as well. Sheldon wrote on the page just a little bit ago, I teach tonight, won't be able to call in, but my comment about the Kennedys is that whether you love them or hated them, they dominated the political culture like very few American families, compared only to the Adamses and the Roosevelts. The Bushes don't come close. For those of us in our generation, the 60s generation, it is truly an end of an era.
I think history is going to have to decide how great the Kennedys were. You know what I mean? Because these people didn't walk on water. I mean, the Kennedys are a troubled family. You know, Ted Kennedy, maybe as troubled, if not more troubled, than most of the Kennedys. So I don't know. I think history is going to have to determine, you know, quantify, you know, the Kennedys, you know, good, bad, best, greatest. You know, I feel uncomfortable doing that.
Timothy Noah?
Well, I think the Bush family made a remarkable impact on American life as well. I wouldn't call it a good impact, but I don't think you can say that George W. Bush, who initially got elected largely on the strength of his father's name, you can't argue that he didn't affect the country in important, significant ways. He did. I think they were mostly harmful ways. But the Bush, you know, the Bush experience, I think, has turned off most Americans to dynastic politics. I think it's one of the reasons why Hillary Clinton didn't prevail in the primaries against Barack Obama. I think the dynastic idea has gotten a little tired, and I think that's probably a good thing. But the Kennedy story does point up the good side to dynastic politics, because this was a family that embraced a spirit of public service and dedication to the betterment of fellow Americans in a way that was largely inspiring.
You know, I can't knock anybody for trading in on the family name, bro. I'm sorry, I can't co-sign that. I mean, I'm working on my own little dynasty right now. You know, so that said, you know, Kennedy did the best he could with what he had. And he's okay with me. I'm sure there's a place for him somewhere in the canon of great legislators. Where he'll fall, I don't know. Like I said, we'll have to see. But I'm uncomfortable with it's like with dead rappers, you know, dead actors. He's like, you know, he was the best. He was the greatest. He was the best of all. I don't know.
Well,
I can't say that.
Well, whether he was best tonight, I'm curious what you think about this. I mean, but the Kennedy family in general. The three brothers I'm thinking about, obviously, President John Kennedy, Senator Bobby Kennedy, and Senator Ted Kennedy. When it comes to civil rights, I mean, Ted Kennedy died. When he died, he was known as a stalwart of that, the liberal line of the Senate who fought for human rights, civil rights, for legislation that positively affected poor people in America. But the Kennedys, in some ways, almost would drag kicking and screaming to that world. I mean, John Kennedy had his tensions with the March on Washington and really was very worried about what had happened, didn't want that march to happen. And Bobby Kennedy then in 68 kind of grew into becoming the progressive voice in a lot of ways in that 68 election before he was assassinated. And in some ways, and I might have this wrong, at least with two of you think, that Teddy Kennedy seemed to come to the question of civil rights in a much more natural way, and was always kind of fought for that from the beginning in the Senate. And I'm just curious how you both think about that.
I think that's right. I think Ted Kennedy was more liberal than his brothers, but I think it should probably also be said that he lived in the politics. The political spectrum shifted substantially between 1960 and say 1975. There were major changes that occurred when John Kennedy was first, in his very tentative way, starting to promote civil rights. As a Democrat, he had to worry a lot about the power of the white Southern Democratic barons, who were largely segregationist. He had faced some political obstacles. Those political obstacles were cleared away in kind of an ironic way by the flight of segregationists from the Democratic Party after the passage of key civil rights legislation. And so that freed Democrats to embrace civil rights more wholeheartedly. And you saw that in Bobby Kennedy, and you saw that especially in Ted Kennedy.
You know, the Kennedy brothers, you know, simply put, they were liberal before it was cool, before it had a name, before it had a T-shirt and a bumper sticker. You know, they were gelling this this philosophy, and Ted certainly kind of personified it.
I want to comment on something that was very deep in Ted Kennedy's character. The one time that he did try to make a run for the presidency in 1980, taking on a sitting president, Jimmy Carter, and he gave this incredible, stirring speech that I listened to again today and remember from 1980 at the convention, refused to shake hands or stand with Jimmy Carter at the end. But let our listeners just hear a tiny piece of the speech. Then I want to talk about that time and how that was such a pivotal moment in his life and where it took him after that.
The commitment I seek is not to outworn views, but to old values that will never wear out. Programs may sometimes become obsolete, but the ideal of fairness always endures. Circumstances may change, but the work of compassion must continue. It is surely correct that we cannot solve problems by throwing money at them, but it is also correct that we dare not throw out our national problems onto a scrap heap of inattention and indifference. The poor may be out of political fashion, but they are not without human needs. The middle class may be angry, but they have not lost the dream that all Americans can advance together. The demand of our people in 1980 is not for smaller government or bigger government, but for better government. Some say that government is always bad and that spending for basic social programs is the root of our economic evils. But we reply, the present inflation and recession cost our economy $200 billion a year. We reply, inflation and unemployment are the biggest spenders of all.
That was Senator Ted Kennedy in 1980 at the Democratic National Convention. The lines are open here at 410-319-8888 for you to reflect on Senator Kennedy and what his political legacy was, his personal legacy was to America. We're joined today in this part of our program by Jimmy Israel, who is a teacher and award-winning journalist who moderates the Barbershop segment that you hear here on WEAA and Tell Me More. He's the author of the upcoming book, The Denzel Principle, in St. Martin's Press. He writes the hardline column at theroot.com. His article today was titled Teddy Kennedy, Good White Folk. Timothy Noah is senior writer for Slate magazine, author of today's article on Slate called The Lion Sleeps, Why Ted Was the Kennedy Who Changed America Most. That moment, that speech was huge, and that time was huge. Many people fault Teddy Kennedy at that moment of being the one who helped Jimmy Carter lose that election to Ronald Reagan. Whether he could have won or not is another question.
Yes, well, I was there when he gave the speech, and I must say I thought at the time, and I continue to think, that it was a bad moment, that the speech was calculated to aggrandize Kennedy at the expense of Jimmy Carter. And I remember a day or two later when Jimmy Carter was speaking before the convention, and he bungled Hubert, the recently deceased Hubert Humphrey's name, and right. The convention booed him. And I remember thinking at the time, they're booing him because they got stirred up by Ted Kennedy. And Kennedy is not serving his party or did not serve his party or his country well by giving that speech. And, you know, we know what happened. Ronald Reagan got elected president.
Well, I wasn't there. I was most likely playing kickball or at recess. But you know, there's something to be said for standing your ground. You know, who among us doesn't have an ego? They let his ego get in the way of better politics. Yeah, but don't we all do that at some point? You know, I admire him for speaking his mind. Sorry, I'm no fan of Reagan, but you know, if you believe something, say what you believe. That's it. It's hard, but it's fair.
I mean, but then he went from there back to the Senate. I mean, then he knew at that point he was not going to be president of the United States.
Well,
and became clearly the leader of the U.S. Senate on the Democratic side.
Yes, absolutely. He dedicated himself to legislative work. I actually think he had dedicated himself pretty thoroughly to legislative work long before that. And
yes.
I also I think it's not quite correct to say that he gave up entirely on the idea of running for president. I don't think that actually happened until after the 1984 election. But certainly, it was a real dose of cold water, his failed bid to try and wrest the nomination away from Jimmy Carter. And there were some bumps along the way even then. I mean, his personal life, starting in the late 70s, really until the early 90s, was a bit of a mess. His marriage fell apart. He was drinking a lot. He was womanizing a lot. But he cleaned up his act. He got married in the early 90s, and he stabilized. And he really throughout, even when his life was a mess, remained a really first-class senator, fighting for the things he believed in.
Wait, you just said he was a mess, but he was first class? Which is it?
You can be both. You can be both.
His personal life was a mess, but his professional life was first class.
I mean, I think that it's true that for a lot of maybe more men than women, that your life can be a complete personal mess. You can be drinking too much, carrying on like a wild man, but your professional life can be soaring.
Seriously?
Yes. But then it catches up to you, and what happened to Ted Kennedy is what caught up to him from the time of Mary Jo Kopechne on, and you wrote about this in your piece, Timothy Nolan, this line you had about then he married Victoria Reggie in 1992, and his personal life took a huge turn.
He never answered for Mary Jo Kopechne. He never answered. The American people never trusted him again. I'm sorry. They didn't. And there are people today that are still asking, what about Mary Jo?
Well, there are legitimate questions to ask about Chappaquiddick. He behaved, we know that he behaved badly in some way. We don't know the full extent of it.
That's
at the very
putting
least,
it mildly.
At the very least.
Something of a cad. Yeah, I'd say, yeah.
At the very least, he abandoned the scene of an accident, we don't know what else was going on.
We know what else was going on, bro. Just spit it out. Come on, man. Seriously.
No, honestly, we really don't. But it was bad. It was bad behavior. It was criminal behavior. He was convicted, given a suspended sentence for leaving the scene of an accident. He may have been drunk, We don't know. We'll never know. He may have been having an affair with Mary Jo Kopechne, although I actually tend to doubt that.
Come on.
But whatever it was, he did not behave honorably, and he never gave a full accounting.
Right.
And it was a bad moment. It was a moment that would have wrecked the career of almost any other member of the United States Senate.
And frankly, I think it made him unelectable as the president. I mean, this is conduct unbecoming times 10. We can't elect a lush to the highest office in the land, but we did that with Bush. But I'm just saying, this guy, he's got no morals at all. You know, so I know he was a good guy, but he had his bad points. And I say that in the piece, he wasn't an angel, but he was good by poor people and people of color. But he needed to get his mind right. Seriously.
I think we're actually now both agreeing that his personal life was in many ways not commendable, but his professional life and his accomplishments were remarkable. As I said in my piece, I think he did more to make America a better place than any other American politician from his era that I can name. I guess the closest competitor would be Lyndon Johnson, but Lyndon Johnson presided over a short burst of very important civil rights legislation, whereas Ted Kennedy had a lifetime of great legislative accomplishment.
And I still kind of think, and I'm not going to belabor this point, we'll go on to something else, but I still think that Victoria Reggie, who became his wife and remained his wife to the day he died, is the one who got his mind right.
Okay.
You know?
Sometimes all it takes is a good woman.
That's exactly right. I won't disagree with that at all.
I'll say
all
right.
The number here is 410-319-8888. Timothy Noah is senior writer for Slate magazine, who wrote the piece in today's Slate, The Lion Sleeps, Why Ted Was the Kennedy Who Changed America Most. Jimmy Israel is a teacher, award-winning journalist, who you can hear on Tell Me More in the Barbershop segment. He writes the Hardline column at TheRoot.com. His article today was titled Teddy Kennedy, Good White Folk, and you closed that article with an interesting quote. You said, let me just read one piece of this and we can talk about
sure.
it for the end in this segment. You said that Teddy Kennedy could be the white man that you sometimes find at black barbecues and barbershops enjoying a drink, a plate, or a laugh, the only white man at your wedding, the only white person your grandparents ever let in the house because he was at ease, he was at home, he left his burden of privilege at the door. You know what I'm talking about. Ted Kennedy was that dude. Brother Kennedy, good white folk. And now that Kennedy has passed, who has the gravitas, the compassion, and the credentials to take up his mantle?
Fair question. Today I've heard Bill Clinton's name bopped around, you know, and
Bill Clinton may have blown that in South Carolina, though.
Well, you know, nobody's perfect, right?
So, but it who does take that mantle in America now?
You got me. I mean, Clinton. I think Bill Clinton. I think he's got next. I mean, I can't see anybody else. I just can't. Nobody else has made those same kind of inroads, reached out to that many, that diversity of folks. Nobody else has done that.
And it's interesting that level of personal comfort with the underprivileged is different even from his brothers. I mean, John F. Kennedy didn't have that. Robert Kennedy did, but in a complicated way. I mean, I think he was able to be deeply moved by his encounters with the underprivileged, but he was socially awkward. He didn't have the unself-consciousness that Ted Kennedy had in dealing with all sorts of people. So this is another area, I think, where Ted Kennedy surpassed his brothers.
You know, I think that one of the when I was in Denver at the convention, the speech he gave, which we'll hear a piece of after we take a break and come back for the last half hour of this, the speech he gave there was I was just so moved by it, knowing that he literally, because I had a friend who died of the same disease he had just a few months earlier, and knowing what that takes to do what he did, and that he could have literally given his life at that time just to give that speech for Barack Obama. That was an amazing moment to me. Were you there, either one of you?
No, bro. I wasn't there. I was there in spirit.
So, I mean, I think that to me was one of his crowning moments, just in terms of what he did for Barack Obama.
Yeah, I mean, Barack needed that co-signer, for sure. Definitely.
What do you both think about why it was that Ted Kennedy at that moment, in hindsight now, came out for Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton?
Well, I would actually say it was in part a reflection of his political smarts. Barack Obama was the better candidate. I mean, Barack Obama was running a better campaign, a more inspiring campaign, a more intelligent campaign. I think this was a guy who knew politics. I think he knew a natural when he saw one.
Right. You got to get on the winning team.
Gentlemen, it's been great to have you on. I hope you both will come back and join us again.
Sure thing, Mark.
Jimmy Israel, you can go to theroot.com and see his article today. Teddy Kennedy, Good White Folk, and Timothy Noah, senior writer at Slate. His piece today on Slate was "The Lion Sleeps, Why Ted Was the Kennedy Who Changed America Most." I look forward to talking to you both again. You both wrote great pieces. I appreciate you taking the time with our listeners today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Take care.
Peace.
We're going to take a very short break. I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorder Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advanced stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. When we return, we'll be joined by other guests to talk about Ted Kennedy. We want to hear your thoughts. 410-319-8888. Join us with your thoughts about Ted Kennedy, or write to us at steinershow@gmail.com, or log on to the Facebook, and we'll read your thoughts there. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. Join us here at 410-319-8888 with your thoughts about the passing of Senator Ted Kennedy. You can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com, log on to Facebook. We've had a few people there who have written us on Facebook about Ted Kennedy, and hear your thoughts that way. We're joined now by Congressman John Sarbanes, who represents the 3rd District here in the state of Maryland, and William Kern joins us by phone as well. He's managing editor of worldmeets.us, where he looks at the press from around the world, and we'll talk about what the world press is saying about Ted Kennedy today. And Congressman and William Kern, welcome to have you both with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
So, John Sarbanes, let me start with you, because I know you only have a few minutes to stay, about 10 minutes or so to stay with us, and I'm very curious about your reflections. I know that I tried to call your dad today, but he's still vacationing,
right?
As he should be.
Yeah.
But I know he served with Ted Kennedy for a long, long time.
I talked to my father today, and he was able to put together a statement to issue to the press, just reflecting on a long relationship. He talked about Senator Kennedy as a very dear friend of his, but also as an inspirational colleague over 30 years in which they served together in the U.S. Senate. And he remembered Kennedy's just unbowed sort of dedication to advancing a more just society and really working to better the quality of life for all Americans. And I certainly share that view. He was someone who was, he had a kind of personal magnetism which I think drew people to him, allowed him to build personal relationships across political lines. And even with people that he didn't agree with on policy or ideology, he was able to establish very deep personal relationships, which then allowed him to broker the kind of good common sense legislation that made a difference for a lot of Americans. And you look at the kinds of things that he accomplished, his work on behalf of the elderly, on behalf of veterans, his commitment to national service, and many, many other things. And he was really a masterful legislator.
I know that on the day that we had that memorial service for your mother, John, at the library, I mean, Ted Kennedy, if you could, would have been there for your father.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was one of his hallmarks just as a human being beyond his politics was just that he always had this reputation as somebody, even during his most trying personal times, as someone who would always reach out and be with people and spend enormous amounts of time with people who needed him in a personal way. I mean, he was very giving of himself.
Well, he was very giving. I think that reflected that he really enjoyed people. I mean, there are some folks who are in public life who kind of do it with their teeth clenched. And there are, you know, there are others who kind of have a happy warrior dimension to them, and really just enjoy being with people. And that was, I think, who he was. I think it's why he was able to forge these friendships with people that you would have thought, I mean, he was a partner in a number of different odd couple combinations in Washington politically. I mean, for example, he and Senator Orrin Hatch became very close personally, and as a result of that, were able to hammer out important legislation in a number of arenas. Most recently, on national service, I was at the signing ceremony when President Obama signed the most recent reauthorization of AmeriCorps through the Serve America Act that was co-authored and led by Senator Hatch and Senator Kennedy. Senator Kennedy was at that ceremony. I think it was one of the last public ceremonies that he attended, in fact, and you could just see how proud he was to have been part of that. And so it was this ability to engage people and establish personal relationship that came from a genuine curiosity about who they were and what they were made of and where they came from and what they cared about that allowed him to be so successful as a legislator, and that was all to the benefit of the American public.
Did you have interaction with him as a congressman?
I had a little bit, Mark. Actually, was able to work on a loan forgiveness program with him a couple of years ago when I first came into the Congress. He felt very strongly that people who went into public service ought to earn some forgiveness of their debt if they did so. And so he authored that on the Senate side. I worked on it on the House side. So I got to taste a little bit what it's like to interact with him in the legislative arena, and the commitment of his staff and the people that he gathered around him to these principles. I also had the occasion when I was running for the first time back in 2005 to spend a few minutes with him in the kitchen of a home where he was attending a fundraiser, Democratic fundraiser, and he was very generous to me. Sat there for about 4 or 5 minutes, and we talked, and he was very, very enthusiastic that I was interested in getting into public life, and you know, I'll certainly remember that for many years to come. And as I say, that sort of warmth he had and ability really to connect to people of all stripes is something that I think many people will remember, and it'll be missed. You know, we lose him at a critical moment in terms of the leadership that he exercised for decades on this issue that he cared more about than anything else, and that was making decent health care affordable to all Americans. And my hope would be that, sort of in tribute to him and in tribute to his memory, all of us who are working to advance that goal will now redouble our efforts in the coming months. There couldn't be a better or more fitting tribute to Senator Kennedy and his career and what he cared about than to bring home a good reform of this healthcare system as we're trying to do.
I can't help but believe that if Senator Kennedy remained alive over the next few months, that he would have had himself wheeled to the floor just to make the vote.
I think you're right. No question. Well, listen, he did it a number of times. Even in his recent illness, he was there for very important votes. This would have been the most important and meaningful of his life and career. So I agree with you 100%. And what's interesting to me is even as his prognosis became more and more serious, at some level, you could see that his colleagues and others were kind of in denial of it because they so much wanted him to be part of the legislative process at this very important time for our country. And now, of course, he's passed on, and we have to take our memories of the fights he waged and put them to good use.
John Sarbanes, I know you can only stay about 10 minutes, but I wanted to talk to you before we moved on. I appreciate you taking the time with us, and look forward to having you talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for doing the show.
Thank you so much. John Sarbanes is the 3rd District Congressman here in the state of Maryland, and joins us here. We'll be waiting for Governor Martin O'Malley to call in, as well as Congressman Elijah Cummings from the 7th District. Number is 410-319-8888. Your thoughts on Senator Kennedy. We'd like to hear what you reflection on his life and what you think he means to our lives as Americans and our American politic, body politic. You can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com, log on to our Facebook page. We have a bunch of comments there, though a lot of them are for our next hour, mixed martial arts. We'll get to that later. We're joined now by phone as well by William Kern, who's managing editor of World Meets Us. And I would encourage you to go to worldmeets.us on the web and see what we're talking about. His site takes newspapers and from across the globe and translates them into English, the articles, and shares them with all of us. And it's just a fascinating website. And William Kern, welcome. Good to have you with us.
It's really a privilege, Mark, to be with you and your listeners to help gauge some of the global reactions to Senator Kennedy's death.
Talk a bit about what you discovered. When I called you earlier today to see if you could join us for a few minutes, we didn't get to you till later because you were up all night searching articles around the world.
That's right. Well, as you know, Mark, he died at about 1:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and that was after most of the European press had gone. Press has been published already. Most of the world's newspapers have content about Senator Kennedy's death, but most of it's wire copy, American copy or wire copy, and that's not what we're looking for. What we're looking for is content written by people in other countries about Senator Kennedy's life. And so what we have so far is commentary from the British and the Irish. As you know, Senator Kennedy had tremendous impact on the Northern Ireland civil war that was going on in Northern Ireland and ending that civil war.
Right.
And a lot of the content we have up there centers around that. You might recall, I think it was last year when he was knighted by the Queen. There was quite a bit of discontent in British political circles because a lot of people there felt that he was far too close, far too friendly to the IRA. And if you look, let me just give people a little bit of a roadmap, Mark, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
If you go to worldmeets.us, you'll notice that the website is separated into continents, and you'll see that the Europe section is on the left. And if you look here in the Europe section on the left, you'll see that we have an article from Ireland, about the president of Ireland and other Irish politicians chiming in about this. You'll see there that we have the obituary from the London Times, and I picked out a pull quote. It's really, it kind of highlights the cross currents over there. The pull quote I pulled out says, an Irish, talking about Ted Kennedy, an Irish American with little love for Britain. His father was the American ambassador to London during World War II, who advised President Roosevelt that England would be defeated. So, if you look through the content we have up there from the BBC, the Telegraph, you have stuff from The Economist. We have an article from the Londonderry Sentinel, which is a Northern Ireland newspaper paying tribute to Senator Kennedy. Some of the interviews, you'll see there's an interview up there with Jonathan Powell, Tony Blair's chief of staff, Morning Kennedy, and he says that while the British were not happy at one particular point where Senator Kennedy kind of forced a visa for Gerry Adams, the IRA leader, to come to Britain for negotiations, and the British cabinet was against it, he admits that they were wrong in this interview, and that was a critical moment that created a tremendous breakthrough in the talks. The end of the Northern Ireland Civil War over there, the end of the conflict between the Protestants and the Catholics, is looked upon now as a touchstone for every other civil war on earth, a place, a starting point to deal with any kind of civil conflict. So it was a tremendous contribution that he and his family made, and the Irish are starting to pay tribute. And again, I repeat that over the next 24 or 48 hours, there's going to be a lot more, because the next edition of the European newspapers and all other newspapers will have content written by people around the world. And that's really what we look for at worldpeace.us. We don't want to show Americans what they've already read in their own newspapers.
What's interesting is that we forget, I think, because of all the American politics, how much Ted Kennedy was involved in and supported the Irish, the IRA, and the Irish struggle against the British. Mm-hmm. Rankle the British nose a bit, and I think that I remember he had even had to tone himself down at some point.
Well, the thing about it was, standing behind the words were a lot of Irish Americans sending money to the IRA, millions and millions of dollars,
right,
to the IRA every single year. So, and that's what, there was a famous comment made by Ted Kennedy, which is also, I believe, if you look down there on the first column again on worldmeets.us, you'll see a video there, Northern Ireland correspondent Martina Purdy on Kennedy, and he has the speech Kennedy, in that clip there, there's a speech that Kennedy gave to American Irish, asking them not to continue to help fuel the violence.
Right.
So he was instrumental in making this peace process possible, and also trying to kind of channel the emotion of American Irish people.
William Curran, I'm going to take a short break here so we can pick up the phone. Congressman Elijah Cummings has joined us by phone, and I'd love to get his thoughts as well. Congressman Cummings, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Mark.
Let you know we are also joining us here is William Curran, managing editor of worldmeets.us. So tell me, Elijah, I know you knew Kennedy well.
Yes.
You thought
yes.
a great deal of him. You served with him yes. a long, long time.
Yes.
So share with us your thoughts at this moment.
Well, I'm very sad. And when I think about what he meant to me as a young African-American man growing up in America, and the fact that he and his family symbolize hope that African-American people could play a significant role in our society, and then to have an opportunity to later on in my life to serve with him is almost like a dream come true. I want to be very clear. I speak of him from the perspective of an African-American man, but I know that he touched so many parts of our society. As I said a little bit earlier today on another show, I said, he gave voice to the voiceless. He amplified the voices of those whose voices were too soft to hear, and he brought visibility to those who people refused to see. And he did it over and over and over again. When you think about his work with regard to people who were disabled, I have a picture in my office that he sent me many years ago and signed. It's a picture of him and Winnie Mandela. And I mean, this predates me even going into the Congress, and where he had worked so hard to in fighting apartheid in South Africa, and he had gone to on a visit and sent me a picture, and then to look at what he did with No Child Left Behind, and we could go on and on, and his ability to reach across the aisle. That's not always easy, Mark.
And he really did it. He was very adept at that.
He was very adept, and I think one of the reasons why he was so adept is because here was a guy who was rich. And I think, and then he could go to fellow senators and say to them, look, you know, I really care about these issues, and I'm going to, and I want to make sure we do something about them. And I guess they were sort of saying, well, wait a minute, here's this rich guy. you know, I mean, what's up with this? I mean, and why is he bending over backwards talking about civil rights? And, I mean, come on. I mean, what's this about?
Elijah, I mean, don't worry. I want you to stay with us here because we've also been joined now by Governor Martin O'Malley, and I want to bring him on the air with us. Governor O'Malley, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, Mark. How you doing, Elijah? Coming?
I'm doing real good. Real good, Governor.
So, Martin, I wish you'd also talk, as I did with Elijah, I mean, that what you think Kennedy's legacy, and it's interesting that I'm thinking about it from your perspective in a number of ways. I mean, the politics of Ted Kennedy, which are not far from your politics, what he represented. You're both Irish Americans, and deeply involved in kind of liberal progressive politics. I'm curious what your thoughts are at this moment.
Well, I'm thinking many thoughts. I mean, one, I've had occasion to get to know some of the members of that very famous Kennedy family, including Kathleen Kennedy Townsend and Mark Shriver and others. So
both who live here in Maryland?
Yeah, it's really been an August of sorrows for them with Mrs. Shriver's passing and now with this. And then on the other hand, you know, following up on your suggestion, I mean, for a lot of Irish Catholic Americans, the Kennedy family represented what I'm sure the Obama family will represent to many African Americans, a point of acceptance, a point of arrival, a point of an important turning point in the story of people with an American heritage, but a uniquely ethnic heritage about which they were proud as well. So, I mean, that's what they represent. Growing up as a little boy, putting it in plainer language, Mark, growing up as a little boy, I mean, there were pictures of the Kennedys on our wall, and their names, along with Dr. King, were, you know, spoken with reverence in our house, and they sort of epitomized that belief my parents and tried to instill in us that public service was a noble and a high calling. And I'm also reminded, especially with both of you guys on this phone, when we were together out there at the convention.
Yes.
And Elijah Cummings was the co-chair and the leader of the Obama forces in Maryland, and Senator Kennedy was early on the Obama campaign. And I remember being caught kind of off guard. I guess I shouldn't have been so off guard, but I remember just tears streaming down my face at the end of his remarks out there, because he was such a powerful and compassionate figure, and such an unrelenting figure. Other members of, you know, more famous brothers, the president and the attorney general, were no longer with us, but Ted Kennedy was still in the Senate, and he was still fighting injustice, and he was still fighting for important things, and the struggle was continuing, and the dream carried on because of his hard work. And that's another thing I think that people sometimes lose sight of, which no doubt Congressman Cummings spoke to, was just what a hard worker he was.
Yes.
And how his ability to reach across the aisle and reach across party ideologies was in part attributable to the respect people had for his work ethic. I mean, he may have been born to a privileged family with a a famous name, but he did his work, and his colleagues respected that. And I'm also told, and I did not see this myself, but I understand, Congressman, that whenever there was a new member elected to the Senate, he always treated that person with dignity and respect.
That's
and
right.
Reached out to them as the human being that they are.
That's right. And it makes a big difference. And one of the things I also was telling some folks this morning is that when Katrina took place, he called me, Mark and Governor, and said, look, Elijah, we've got to make sure that we address this issue because we've got people. He said, we have our people drowning in their own urine down there in Louisiana. We got to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I want you to get out here and have a news conference as fast as you can. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, and he was coughing then, and he was on vacation. I could tell he wasn't feeling well, but he was just that concerned. And he found me. And so, you know, you don't forget people like that. You just don't.
Well, you know, there's a beautiful, I quoted this beautiful passage by an Irish poet named John O'Donohue earlier today at the Board of Public Works when each of us was remarking on the tremendous life and the passing of Senator Kennedy. And John O'Donohue wrote that a compassionate presence is one of the most powerful forces that any person can bring into this world. And oftentimes that compassionate presence is born of one's own woundedness. And I think that's something that people appreciated in this remarkable man.
Well, no doubt about it.
The loss and the woundedness and the things that that he had gone through and nevertheless was able to go back into the arena every single day and continue to try to make this world a better place for somebody else through public service.
Governor O'Malley and Congressman Cummings, I really want to thank you both for taking the time today and joining us to reflect on Senator Kennedy. And it's always a pleasure to talk to both of you. And we'll continue with this and go to our website. You can reflect more on Senator Kennedy's life. Both, thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank
been
you.
A pleasure.
Bye-bye now.
And William Curran, thank you for standing by and being with us as well and doing the work you do.
Privilege, Mark. I'm very happy to have been here.
Thank you so much. And we're going to take a brief break and come back at the top of the hour. Maybe we'll go out a little bit with Ted Kennedy's speech to the Democratic Convention. You can hear that on our way back to the next hour. We'll return to talk about a very different subject, about mixed martial arts and why it has taken the conscience of America so deeply. We'll talk about that when we return. But right now, we're remembering Senator Ted Kennedy.
We are told that Barack Obama believes too much in an America of high principle and bold endeavor. But when John Kennedy thought of going to the moon, he didn't say, it's too far to get there. We shouldn't even try. Our people answered his call and rose to the challenge. And today, an American flag still marks the surface of the moon. Yes, we are all Americans. This is what we do. We reach the moon. We scale the heights. I know it. I've seen it. I've lived it. And we can do it again.